Good morning. Today is Thursday, August the 11th. We're 1 week out from the fair already. Joining us this morning is DA to B. Do you have one of those business cards yet?
I do not.
Oh. All right. Well, you know, take a crayon or a felt pen and you can, yeah. Stacey Eads. Good morning.
Good morning.
You ready for our question here?
Sure.
And this is from the category, not to put any pressure on you, but these make sense.
Uh-oh.
Okay. So why do we say rub the wrong way? Why does something rub somebody the wrong way?
I don't know. I think too literally. So
the porcupine form?
Yeah, the porcupine form. I literally think of skin. If you rub or brush hair the wrong direction, it's going to hurt.
Okay. Or, you know, some of the plants. You know, you pull it one way and it's okay.
Sure.
All right. If you're sensitive, it might not take much to rub you the wrong way. A thoughtless remark or challenging look or inattention to what you just said might be enough to do the trick. Long ago, it took a different set of actions to spawn the expression. Wealthy ladies of the colonial era were proud of their wide board oak floors. At least once a week, servants wet rubbed, then dry rubbed surfaces. Though simple and routine, these tasks involved running mops along the grain of the wood. A careless worker sometimes mopped across the grain, producing streaks on the floor. To her mistress, such cleaning was worse than none. Vexation at a domestic who rubbed the wrong way was common enough to cause the housekeeping phrase to label clumsy or inept dealing with persons as well as with floors.
Well, that's far from what I had in my mind.
Well, good. I think there's a lot of misconception or maybe just flat out ignorance with a lot of the stuff that your office does. Notice it's your office now. Your office does behind the scenes. Whether it's with courtroom scheduling or assigning who to what case, that kind of stuff. And then you get into the nitty-gritty, the real stuff, you know, the investigations of what's going on, what information do you present, which ones don't you, how do you get together, do you try to work it out in advance, blah, 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 blah. If somebody was to shadow you for a week, so they got to see some of all these things. You're smiling already. All these things in the background. What would be some of the takeaways that we would kind of go, gee, I didn't realize that blank?
Well, I think that in general, there are a lot of logistics to address and just kind of basic everyday concerns for that we share with all people, little things. Just over the lunch or, you know, recently we were having a meeting and talking about working with victims and survivors of crimes and when we need to have interviews and work with them and dealing with childcare and scheduling issues and just a lot of the basic, you know, everyday concerns that all folks need to address. And we recently did have a number, and we still have some interns working in our office over the summer, and they've been fabulous. And I have this vision that I would be able to kind of entertain them with all the case and the stories of people that were helping. But
the razzle dazzle.
But the razzle dazzle. Yeah, yeah. But the reality of it is there's a lot of running around, a lot of taking care of this, a lot of jumping from one project to the next and then back to what you were working on a few hours earlier. And so it's
became a little bit more routine than eye opening. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Right. But that's the real world. And so, you know, why, you know, mislead them if this is a
career? Yeah, I would think that there's just a lot of process. Now, the first 3 weeks, the process might be exciting and dynamic, but then it becomes routine and process, and you go from one to the next, and you know there'll be a surprise or three. And you roll with the punches and you do what you can do.
Sure. I do think that things are constantly changing and we do have a lot of surprises and we do have that sort of emergency room law setting where we never know quite what to expect. And so in terms of it doesn't feel like we get to sit down and necessarily do what we've outlined as our plan for the day. There's always a number of glitches. Things just what you can expect is that things will not go as expected.
Kind of like MASH, right?
Yeah.
The old TV show. And you knew the copter was coming in, but you really didn't know what was to be expected.
Right.
And you deal with it.
You deal with it.
I would think that there are personalities that can do that. And it's like, okay, what's happening today? And kind of like the puppy dog. And then you got the others that are, you know, I've prepared, I've done this, today's the day. Now I've got an attitude when something happens and I don't get to do. How do you break that one down? Either for the interns, so they understand that they've got to be able to bend with the wind here, or you have somebody like that who may be a crackerjack ace, and to get them to kind of unwind a little bit so that they don't snap.
Right. So I think it is just a little bit of understanding people and figuring out who is more adaptable than others, and everybody has their strengths and their weaknesses. And so just trying to figure out who is of that particular personality type and hopefully find a good assignment that fits for them and their strengths. But, I think in our office, we definitely all have to be able to adapt at a pretty high level.
Have you ever popped into one of the other big-time offices and just kind of looked around and see how different? I think that there's a parallel between large market and our little micro markets, you know, whether it's radio or whether it's legal. You go somewhere and there's 500 people on their staff. Okay, fine. What do they have in common? You know, what lessons can you learn from them and vice versa? You know, you bring them here and they're going to wonder, how can you handle five different types of cases in one day? Have you had that chance yet to go and kind of drop into some of these offices and kind of just get a sense of what they operate like?
Well, to a certain degree, I've had exposure to the larger county district attorney's offices, but mostly at conferences and just speaking with folks and not necessarily on site.
I'm walking by with a box of donuts through the cubicles.
But, you know, and sometimes it's like, wow, they have so many resources, or they'll have divisions, units that handle just one of the many types of cases that we might handle in just looking at our sexual assault unit. And so they'll, you know, we handle the sexually violent predator cases, and they might have a whole unit, a whole team of lawyers and investigators handling those cases. And so it's like,
no sick days there. Yeah. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Stacey Eads. Incoming? What, how do you call yourself now?
I still refer to myself as Stacey.
I got 4 years to even the score. Be nice.
No, the assistant district attorney. That's my official title. Yes, I'm the.
As you look, either these interns, you know, and I don't know if you're going to be able to formalize an internship program, which would be, I think, intriguing. Where would you get the interns from? You know, you're not going to be able to get them come up from Sacramento or down from Portland. Are there kids going through Humboldt that have that interest?
Yeah, we have one who's attending Humboldt, going through Humboldt. Another intern, she grew up locally, and she has an interest in going into law. And so,
oh, those locals. They'll get you every time.
She's great. I'm not sure that criminal law is where she wants to go, but I think it was really good exposure for her. And so hopefully we helped her gain a better understanding of how the courtroom scenario works and maybe what we do.
That's really the goal, isn't it? I can't imagine somebody going through, and we had a couple apply for jobs here that had lisps. You know, all we have is a spoken word. And for somebody, and for the faculty members not to have said something along the way, I find kind of like fraud, almost. Same thing with a teacher. Never, haven't been in the classroom, and now you get dropped in and you can't handle kids. Well, okay, nobody talked to you along the way? I would think that this would be a nice way, either for confirmation, yeah, this is cool stuff, or I don't think so, and they go run into the hills afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, we actually have one intern who traveled all the way from Boston area, and she knows someone that's in the office. They've all been great, and so it's also really fun to see their perspective on a case, or kind of, you know, alert them to who might be in the courtroom that they wouldn't have been aware of otherwise.
Well, personalities or?
Personalities, and I've, yes.
Yeah, I would think that lay of the land is a big deal. Interesting. Did either of them talk about working remotely? I think that's the big question now is a lot of the 20s are saying, yeah, can I do that remotely? And it's like, are you? No, you're flipping hamburgers. How do you do that from home? No, but there's that desire.
There is that desire. And no, none of these interns brought that up. And it's really.
You're up in the triple digit IQs now, huh?
Not possible for what we do. We you know, through the COVID pandemic, we were able to do some of our work remotely. But for the most part, we just needed to be in the office. And now we're, of course, in the courtroom live. And so that's the way to do it. And to meet with survivors and victims, I think in person is just so much more valuable, and to have a
Zoom
true connection.
Doesn't do it.
Right. It doesn't. But there are a lot of folks that in the legal industry that are doing remote work. And
like consultants and people of that nature, or talking about the day-to-day grind it through regular guy or gal in the office?
I think, well, civil, but, you know, regular guy in the office, you know. And for our juvenile court, it was remote for quite a while. They're now back to doing most of it in person, which I think, again, is a great thing. In particular, when you're talking about juveniles, I think they need to be there in person in a real courtroom.
Well, and body language says so much.
Yes.
I would think, would be very handicapped if you just had somebody sitting there staring at a computer and then the eyes dart up to the left and you wonder what just happened. Yeah, you know, those right. types of things. You don't know. Were the judges sympathetic to the Zoom, or were they inclined not to?
I feel like overall they've been fairly sympathetic. There are certain times where, you know, our constitutional rights require the person to be in, you know, personally present for court proceedings. And so, but overall, I think the courts have been very, have done a really good job in terms of making the proceedings happen and moving forward. So I'm really proud of our local court system, actually. And
could you do like DUIs and things of that nature? Certain types of cases processed through that way for efficiency's sake, where there's not a lot of back and forth, or had the option if you want to do in the courtroom, but if you want to just kind of get this thing taken care of in a more expedited fashion?
Oh, it needs to happen in the courtroom.
Okay. Even DUIs and things of that?
Yes.
And civil cases?
Civil is different because it's different constitutional protections.
So,
for the defendant.
So, yeah, when you say constitutional protection, does that give them the option? Or is that a requirement?
It's a requirement. I mean, some of it becomes subject to interpretation, you know. But, yeah, So generally, you know, witnesses have to be present when they're testifying. The defendant generally has a right to be present during the court proceedings.
But they can waive that, or is that mandated that they be there?
A lot of it they can waive. The defendants can waive.
Right.
But, you know, again, for example, with the sex crime prosecutions, one of the challenges is that, you know, the survivors and victims do need, when they're testifying, they need to be there in the same courtroom as the defendant.
That's got to be a little tricky for the newbies to see the dynamics and the emotions and then, like you said, you know, the lay of the land. Who's here, who isn't. You know, yes, everybody made it through screening, but we still want to keep an eye on a couple of folks. I mean, that kind of thing that, you know, when you've done it a couple of times, you go, yeah, okay, that's second nature. Of course we do, blah, blah, blah. And it's hardly even a thought. But for the new ones looking to establish those habits and those routines, I would think that is kind of a challenge for them.
Sure, it's certainly part of the learning process.
That's where you get your wrinkles from. All right, yeah. KINS, News and Information Time is 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Stacey Eads from the Humboldt County District Attorney's Office. As you are looking at the roadmap for the next couple of months, you know, you've got the cases that you're trying. Hopefully they'll be wrapped up. Are you going to be able to continue to accept new? Or do you start weaning yourself away a little bit now and preparing for more of a managerial position rather than the front desk position?
So thankfully, I have an excellent team of prosecutors on the sexual assault unit, and they are very capable of taking on the cases that I've been handling. And so we've been working on a transition, and I've been taking on fewer and fewer cases of late, and I continue to do that. I do have some cases that I plan to, you know, handle to the end, absent some unforeseeable circumstances.
Sure, I would think you want to wrap up the ones that you're already part of.
Right.
As much as you could.
Right. Yeah, in particular, yeah. Those cases where I've worked significantly with, you know, the survivors or the family members. So it's really important to be able to continue on with that continuity, but not always will I be able to do that.
Yeah. And well, I want to work with, no, she's not available. Things change.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so do you have your structure pretty much in your head yet? How you want to do things, and are you going to move anybody around a little bit or that kind of stuff? Or is it just, we'll see where things are at that time?
Well, I think there's certainly to a degree that we'll see where things are at the time when I transition as the district attorney. Thankfully, again, as the assistant district attorney, I've been involved in sort of the structuring and the case assignments and the teams and the hiring process for applicants. So I've been very involved in all of that as the assistant district
attorney. That's right. You got a backfill, huh? So you're at least going to be looking for one hire, right?
Well, yes.
Yeah. I'm figuring things out over here.
Yeah.
As you look at the crew that you've got, if you had, let's say, another five positions and there was no hiring freeze, is there an area that is being either underserved or that the sheer volume is such that it's overwhelming folks that should be doing other things or trying other cases in this case?
Well, right now we are down a couple of attorneys, and so we certainly, I think, feel within the office that everyone is maintaining their caseloads and then plus some. So, and I don't think it's necessarily a particular area within the office that is particularly overtaxed, if you will, but we certainly will continue to prioritize, you know, crimes involving the more vulnerable victims. So, you know, the sexual assault, child abuse crimes, elder abuse crimes, those will always be prioritized. And of course, you know, the homicides. So we want to ensure that our attorneys have the resources and support to do their jobs the way that, you know, the public deserves to have them done. So that's, you know, and that's always one of the challenges to continuously bring in and support the prosecutors, investigators, and support staff, the entire office, to do the job the way it should be done. And there are always changes. That's just the nature.
Turnover
of it.
Is, yes. So if you're down a couple chairs, those are the ones that you've been interviewing?
Yes.
And talking to? Is there a seasonality to law school? The traditional school, right? Okay, it's going to be May. That's when everybody's out. They're looking for jobs in February. Okay, so everybody goes trolling in February. Got it. Is law school the same way, or is it on a different schedule?
It's pretty much the same way. You know, the traditional three-year law school. So graduate, you know, May, early June. Early June. But then oftentimes students would then start studying for the bar exam, take it, you know, during the summer. So like kind of the fall would be your, you know, newer attorneys that might be applying. And there's, you know, and I think this is true for many folks. There's, you know, a lower number of applicants and folks that are interested in.
Are there less graduates from law school or? They going into the corporate world?
I think they're probably going more into the corporate world, or, you know, maybe looking for those remote work type jobs. And so it's definitely
that's so weird,
a challenging market.
I would think, you know, if you are going to be a lawyer and it's not civil, right, so you're just doing the research and outthinking somebody, man, you'd want to get into the battles as quick as possible. Get me out there. Let me figure this thing out. Let me tackle remote, huh? I mean, I would think that would be the personality that would be attracted to being a lawyer. It was, you know, the engagement part.
Yeah, and I think traditionally it has been, and so, but.
So there's just less of those now?
Yeah, and I mean, earlier we were talking about the differences between the large offices and the small offices, and certainly last year when I went to the annual district attorney's conference, one of the common themes, whether it was a large office or a small office, was the decline in the number of applicants.
We need people.
Yeah. And, you know, when I went to law school, okay, so that was a while ago. And but, you know, to come out and then get a job in a DA's office was that was a great path. And if you were able to obtain a job in a district attorney's office, your future was bright. So it's just a little different now, and but you know, we want people that are motivated and interested and dedicated, and so.
Are you seeing applicants from other areas wanting to move to Humboldt like we are, and in some of the other arenas also? You know, they're tired of the fires, they're tired of the heat, they want somewhere that's kind of pretty, and you know, the water and all, you know, all the stuff that keeps us here. Are you seeing that also, or is that not happening in certain industries like your profession?
Yes, that is what we see, and certainly the quality of life that we have here in Humboldt County is one of the big sells, you know, as an employer in trying to bring in qualified applicants. You know, we can't necessarily compete with all of the salaries for larger...
But who can?
Right,
you know,
who
can? That's part of the game.
But we have the beauty of our area, the lack of a commute. It's the overall quality of life. And so I think it's a great place to live and work. And well,
plenty
of
workload to keep them busy?
You will never be bored.
You said that almost automatically. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Markley, Van Camp Baskin Robbins.
I think some of these academics just go back like to the origin of something like brown bag and then say, okay, I see one thing that might be problematic here. That's why we got to stop it.
But that's not even the origin of brown bag lunch.
Can you see it now? It's a it's the great pumpkin, Charlie Stevens.
Weekdays.
Hey, I'm Jamie Markley. Join us for Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins live 9 a.m. to noon here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Stacey Eads. So we've got a little bit of a countdown going on. You've got some cases that you're trying to wrap up. You've got some people that you're trying to hire. What about the experience level? I mean, hiring somebody new is cool. All the passion and the enthusiasm. And then there's the training. And then the ongoing training. And then there's a little bit more training. And. Who handles the training in the office?
Well, ultimately, it's the district attorney's, you know, responsibility.
Well, you got the responsibility, but the actual, here's how we do it, here's our systems. Who does the mentoring, I guess, might be a better way to phrase it.
Yeah, sure. So it's more senior fellow attorneys who will assign to cover cases, you know, side by side with the new attorney. And so we really do it kind of as a team, and we mix it up a little bit and try to keep it with folks that, you know, do have enough experience under their belt that they have a good handle on it and nobody's passing on.
Do you do the palm test?
The palm test?
Yeah. Go in the courtroom. Feel their palm. Is it sweaty or not?
Oh.
I've done that in sales, you know. Some, there's confidence then. You go, okay, I'm ready. Bring it on.
Yeah.
Well, and you know you've crossed a threshold at that point that, okay, they're ready. Instead of, oh my God, I said the wrong word. And half of the jury wasn't listening. Relax. Let's move on.
Right,
you know,
right.
That kind of stuff.
A
normal check, I guess, would be a way to do it. How do you know the mentors that you want to use? Either personality matches, or you know, some people thrive as being a mentor, and others it's seen as an anchor or an albatross around them, and they just kind of, their efficiencies go down so fast because they're focusing on other things or they just are disgruntled.
Yeah.
Do you ask?
No, I think you just sort of observe.
And everybody gets one?
You can tell who's, you know, more inclined to be a good mentor and support their mentee and take that on. So I think that, it's a personality. But within our office, we really do have to work as a team. And so everybody has to be able to help each other. And so it's just part of the climate to begin with, I think.
Hey, Stacey, I'll cover some of your work if you want to take care of this guy.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. Yeah, just, you know, I think maybe not. But there are those that do and are great coaches. And there are those that don't. Yeah, I think of Ted Williams. See the ball, hit the ball. Wasn't that much of a coach because it all came so naturally.
Right.
I'm sure you've got some naturals that just, I mean, this is what they were born to do and this is what they want to do and they just do it very well.
Right.
But how do you explain what you do instinctively?
Well, not everything can be taught. I think there are some traits and qualities that either you've got it or you don't.
So do you hire for that or discover that?
Well, you certainly try to hire for that, but you always discover new things about people as you get to know them better.
Hey, that's called life, isn't it? So you said you had somebody here from Boston.
Right.
Have you put your hooks into them? Are they going to come back?
Well, that's only the future. We'll see. I think it would be great.
Yeah, it would be interesting. With us each being locals, okay, I mean, this is home. But for somebody moving here, you know, is this comparable? Do they want to stay here? Will they stay here? You know, or if mom or dad gets sick, do they have to then leave? I mean, those types of things that you can't really talk about during the interview process, but is part of the job performance. Yeah, lots of luck.
Yeah, thank you.
So you got a couple empties now, and you're looking for a couple to fill those. Is there any chance to expand the office so that more good stuff can happen faster?
Well, I'd like to think that there's always a chance, unless there's some drastic reduction in crime. I think we always have to sort of...
Yeah, when that happened.
Look into the future is expanding. But.
Yeah. Yeah, because we are going to have more folks around here. I suspect that there's a percentage that are going to be goofies. That's a technical term, a legal term also. You can use it whenever you want. Goofy syndrome. All right. See everybody tomorrow.